This might be my very favorite Rolling Stones song. It's really
this
hard to
Monkey
pick
Man,
one.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I just love the guitar on this. And we're going to talk about the Rolling Stones because there's a new exhibit that I have yet to go to. And it's called Exhibitionism. And in the studio with us right now, Jerry Michelson, the founder of Jam Productions and the local presenter of Exhibitionism. See, somebody caught me on that last time. Wendy, you're saying it wrong. It's an exhibit. You're saying exhibitionism. That's what it's called. It's the Rolling Stones, for God's sakes.
Agreed. It's whatever you want to say it is, Wendy.
And with you, Paul Natkin. Paul, you have taken a photograph of every rock band and every event in Chicago and elsewhere for how many years?
37 years.
Amazing. Last time I saw you, we were seeing the Henry Diltz picture show, all his photographs of album covers and such at City Winery.
Exactly. He was one of my idols. Still is.
So rock and roll photography, we're going to see a lot of that in exhibitionism. Someone, I haven't gone yet, I'm going to go. Someone sent me a picture. Is there a kitchen vignette going on in the exhibit? Somebody's dirty old kitchen?
Well, there's actually four rooms of that's a recreation of the apartment that Keith and Mick and Brian and Charlie lived in when they first started the Rolling Stones back in London.
Bill, if you see the bed, there's no way those guys were getting lucky in that bed.
I think they did okay. There's stories
that
Mick had at least two or three girlfriends over the years.
Absolutely. I'm sure they were doing well in that bed.
Disheveled. Very disheveled.
So there's the kitchen. There's the bedroom. There's the living room. And then there's one other room that has a record player in it with a couch that you wouldn't sit on any of those.
You know how McDonald's had a sign that said over 46 billion served? Mick could have had that same exact sign over his bed. It would have made perfect sense. How did this come to be? How did this incredible expedition, whatever it is, come to be?
So there's a company out of Australia that commissioned this and created it.
Yeah.
They put it all together and worked with the Stones, who have a large warehouse outside of London. And as it turns out, they seemingly saved everything. So you'll
good
see
for them.
Things from the very beginning of their career in 1962.
Yeah.
Handwritten lyrics, anything like that?
Handwritten lyrics. You'll see Keith's diary from 1963. You'll get to see some of the pages that he wrote.
Wow.
And he actually wrote legibly. And
it's made of leather like his skin.
Wow.
He's proud of that. Paul Natkin, you toured with the Rolling Stones as their photographer for how many years?
1988 through 97.
Was that Steel Wheels?
Steel Wheels, Voodoo Lounge, Bridges to Babylon, and both of Keith's solo tours.
What do you know about them that we don't know about them?
That you can say on the air.
You can say on the air, please.
You can say anything on the air. They're just really nice guys.
Yeah.
They're total professionals. Their whole goal is to put on the best show they could possibly put on for people that are paying money to see them.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't even know if it's rumors. Mick and Keith, not the best of friends, but they know where their bread is buttered, and they can put their differences aside when they get on stage, can't they?
Well, they divide everything up. You know, Mick's the business guy, and Keith's the music guy. And they, you know, they're okay. They're friends.
They don't hang.
No, they have separate rooms backstage, and they do their thing, and then they come together right before the show, and everything's great.
Did you ever sense a rivalry between them and the Beatles? Did that exist in your eyes? Did you see it?
Well, I'd never photographed the Beatles.
No.
When I was a kid, you had to pick.
Yeah.
You couldn't like both of them. You had to decide who you were going to like. And I...
Who are you picking?
I picked the Stones from
the
beginning.
See, I do too. And I've gotten numerous arguments with the neighbors at our block party because the Beatles were fantastic. But in my opinion, the Rolling Stones were much more versatile.
Well, the Beatles were too clean. They were too manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Stones looked like they just rolled out of bed. I found out later that that was a completely manufactured image. But, you know, it works.
All right, Jerry Michelson, Jam Productions, Beatles or Stones? Putting you on the spot.
I think they're both great at what they did.
They are, really.
I mean, you know, the Beatles were trendsetting. I mean, you know, some of their albums were groundbreaking. But again, I'm not going to take anything away from the Stones because they were great too. So it's you know,
very different, I guess.
Well, but you know, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but you got Michael Jordan and you got Larry Bird, who's better?
Michael Jordan.
Or Magic Johnson, who's better?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard. They're both great. They're all three of them are great.
Right.
So.
Rolling Stones or Homer and Jethro? Too well, hard to pick, isn't
well, unless
it?
Unless you, are you talking about Jethro Tull?
Yes, Homer and Jethro Tull. Yeah.
All right, so it's called Exhibitionism. It opened earlier this month. When is this running through? Because someone misinformed us yesterday, and I think they said October. But no, you got to jump on these tickets. July at some point?
Through the end of July, but it's worth going there now because it's some people that are going now are going back again because it's so good.
There's so much to see.
You're going to want to go more than once.
Yeah. That's what I've been told, yeah. And you want to stay several hours. Is there a time limit for how long you can stay?
No time limit. It's just so much to see, so much to read, so much to listen to. Mm-hmm. You can mix songs, so you can listen to mixed vocals on certain songs or Keith's guitars or whatever you want to do. I mean, it's very interactive.
Well, you guys are obviously, you're not just in the business, you're entrenched in the business. So what did you see at the exhibit that even you, two guys who have been in the business for so long, just were wowed by?
Well, I thought looking at Keith's diary where he talked about a show that they had done in 1963 and he had written, the first set was really good, but the second set we really took off.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that he was going back to that apartment and writing all that stuff down every night was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How long did they live in that apartment, ballpark?
A couple years.
That's it.
Yeah, because they started getting famous and pretty soon they can afford a real apartment.
Better digs.
Yeah. Much better digs.
Well, there was only one bedroom, so I think Mick slept in the bed while the other guys, one slept on a couch. I think two slept on couches, and I don't know where the fourth one slept, where Charlie slept.
Do you think it helps? I'll bring up the Beatles again because they have this in common with Rolling Stones. Incredibly humble beginnings. They didn't start out as rich guys. They started out as poor guys just trying to make ends meet. Did that help them? Did that show them better scope in their work?
Well, I always think that some of the songwriter's best work or best music comes when they're nobody.
Yeah.
Because don't forget that they have their entire life to make their first record, and then 6 months, every 6 months, they got to come out with something new, typically.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, everybody starts off humble, typically, and very few musicians are Rockefellers.
Yeah.
I think they all get that, you know, kind of like, you know, even look at Adele. All her songs are based on what she's gone through in life.
Right.
And the Rolling Stones have truly evolved. When you listen to some of the early stuff, it's raw and folksy, and I love that. And then Steel Wheels, they took a little bit of a turn, and now the new album, Blue and Lonesome, a tribute to all the blues artists and the blues that really got them rolling. They've really changed and evolved, yet it still sounds like the Rolling Stones. They've done a great job with that.
Well, if you know, they started here. I mean, they came here to record. And I think Keith and Mick, I think they had known each other. And they saw each other at a train station. I think this is in the exhibit. And they both were carrying blues records. And both didn't realize that they were both into the blues. They didn't know that before. Mm-hmm.
They both were carrying blues albums that they had sent away to Chicago for from Chess Records.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, that's why they have that feeling about the blues.
I have my son Michael's 17, and he loves the Stones, loves the blues, and he walks around in a Chess Records t-shirt holding old blues records, hoping that someone will notice him. But it hasn't happened yet.
Well, if you look at that apartment when you go to Exhibitionism, there are a bunch of Chess records on the table.
So a nice little shout-out to Chicago.
At what point do you think they realized that they weren't just another band, that they were going to be iconic and live on for forever and ever? Was there a turning point where they realized that all of a sudden?
I think it was when they got to their shows and the people were screaming so loud they couldn't hear themselves through the monitors.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when they realized that there was something going on.
Yeah.
Is Bill Wyman featured at all in any of this?
Oh, he's in it.
Okay, good. Because he never gets mentioned anymore.
No, but, you know, he's certainly part of the history of the band.
Absolutely.
So certainly, he's there just like Brian Jones is in it. And you know, you got Bobby Keys and is it Ian Stewart?
Yeah, Ian Stewart. Yeah. Daryl Jones from Chicago, who's the bass player now.
Where was this exhibit before Chicago? Had it been one before?
New York City.
Okay, so we got it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was started in London last year, went to New York, and is now here in Chicago.
Did Mick just have another baby recently? Did I read that he just had another child?
We read the same thing.
Yeah, how about that?
Good for him.
Yeah. He's very virile.
He's very virile.
Are there? I know you said there's a hands-on experience and a lot of interactive thing. Can we do that Mick Jagger strut? Is there some way to have a green screen where we're doing it? Do they teach you how to do it, or can only he do it?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose you can do it
while watching the video,
right? You know, Michael Jackson's moonwalk or Chuck Berry's duck, whatever that was.
Duck walk.
Does anyone know where that style? It's very rooster like. Does anyone know where that started or how that started? No,
it's just him. It's, you know, now he has a choreographer, but in the old days it was just him.
Yeah.
All right, and outfits, can I see outfits like stage wear and personal wear?
You can see rooms and rooms of outfits.
I can't wait to see that.
Everything from 1965 in London to last year on their tour.
Paul, I always hear photographers talking. There's a phrase, they go, the camera loves that guy or the camera loves that woman. Of all the people you've photographed over the years, who did the camera really love?
Besides me.
Besides me. I left that out, sorry.
Yeah, you got to keep that in there.
Yeah.
Definitely the Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the greatest band in the world. And, you can't miss taking photographs of them.
And they worked with you. I know you got a lot of candid shots because you're known for that, and they're really awesome. But did they love posing for the camera?
Yeah, that's their part of their job.
Yeah.
That's why they stayed as big as they are, because they didn't hate that stuff, and they did it whenever it was needed.
You know what I've noticed in a lot of your photographs? I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed this. You have a lot of photographs of rock stars where the energy is just so apparent because they're rock stars, and the energy just falls off of them, and you capture that on film. But then in a lot of them, there's a subtlety, and you say to yourself, that's a guy or that's a woman who's on stage being a rock star, but there are moments, and you've captured these moments, where they're just quiet and reserved and shy.
Well, there's a word called the decisive moment, which is the whole principle of photography.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you have to capture those moments. And some of them are not, you know, a guy jumping through the air.
Yeah.
Some of them are, you know, somebody standing there.
So Paul is so modest.
Yeah.
And one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. He won't say this, but I will. He's one of the greatest photographers
ever.
Yeah.
He's got some of his photos in the exhibit in exhibitionism, but Navy Pier went out and created with Paul some of Paul's photos that are part of his own exhibit before you walk into exhibitionism.
Oh, really?
So on your way from the west end to the east end, as you're walking towards the exhibit, Paul's got his own exhibit of Stones photos with a video of
he's my publicist.
It's the napkin wing.
So that's excellent.
Right, so you should go see that as well.
Perfect.
That's beautiful.
It's called Exhibitionism, and here's what we've got. More than 500 rare items covering the band's influence on fashion, film, recording, art, and design. Largest touring exhibition of its kind ever to be staged. 18,000 square feet. It runs through July 30th. Get your tickets now. You can go to StonesExhibitionism.com, StonesExhibitionism.com. Thank you to Jerry Michelson, founder of Jam Productions and the local presenter of this exhibit. Paul Natkin, one of the world's best photographers. Thank you so much, you guys.
No problem.
Rock on.
Thanks, gentlemen. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show ahead. It's Bill Leffin and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Radio's Judy Pilak. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. We're on the stream. Give us a call. We're at 312-235-2525.
I just want to talk very briefly. My son, Michael, last night did a promposal. And
awesome. How did he do it?
Well, see, this is what I don't like. Bill, one of the guys who took one of your daughters to prom spent a ton of money doing something very creative.
My daughter, Reese, was asked to go to prom by a guy who spelled out, "Will you go to the dance with me?" in Reese's peanut butter cups on our driveway.
The whole thing, because I was thinking about how much money that would be. I would have just spelled out prom or her name, but he wrote the whole thing out.
Yeah, will you go to the dance with me in Reese's Peanut Butter Cups? So I guess it was...
Hopefully he did a U instead of Y-O-U.
Right.
Yeah, because how that must have cost
him... Okay, I have to say my son did something like that with bananas, and I really... I was mad. I was like, how many
bananas? What did he ask Carmen Miranda to the dance?
I know. It was some weird thing. Maybe it was all fried. I remember bananas, a lot of bananas. And I was like, how much did those cost? I was mad that he spent that much.
It when you stop and break it down, you say to yourself, hey, be more realistic. You're wasting a lot of food and it's costing us a lot of money. But you have to, as we've discussed in the past, you have to do some kind of a splashy thing or it goes unnoticed. What did Michael do?
Well, he didn't spend a lot of money. In fact, I said you should get her some flowers. Instead, he wrote her a song.
I was just going to say, if he didn't sing a song, that's ridiculous.
He went to her track meet, and in front of, he tried to pull her aside, but then a crowd gathered, and he sang a song that he wrote.
With his guitar?
Yes, with his acoustic guitar. And the chorus, the anagrams spelled out prom, like, please remember, something with an O and something with an M. So if you look at the first letter of the chorus, it spells out P-R-O-M. And he sang it to her. She said no.
What?
I'm kidding.
What? If a guy pulls out a guitar, that's an instant yes.
You say yes, and then you think of an excuse not to go.
Right.
You say yes.
She said yes. And
that's so cool.
They're friends, and I said that's cool because you're going to have more fun with a friend. So
it was always strange to me when people would announce that they're going to the prom, but they're going as friends. Like that announcement always needed to be made for some reason, and I never understood why.
Because when we went to prom... It was, you had to, like...
Yeah, it was boyfriend, girlfriend, or date.
Exactly.
Yeah, not now, no. And so my son's now a sophomore in college, even during his time. They went, I mean, it was a group
of
10, 20, but they were all friends.
Can
no
I ask,
girlfriend, boyfriend.
When you go in a large group like that, part of the prom experience was you went to the girl's house, and then you had pictures taken, you know, a pair, it's you and the girl and stuff.
No, now you go to the best house.
You just
in
go
the
to the
group,
best house.
Whoever has the best house.
They won't
in the
be
group.
At our house.
Everyone.
And everyone goes.
Takes a group shot.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yep. That's how they did it.
Is this better or is this not as good as it
used to
be?
You know what? As I recall, 10 years ago when I went to prom.
Was it 10 years already, Jude?
I can't remember. I think it was around 10, 15. We kind of, it was a big, you know, I was in a group of people.
Yeah.
I mean, I went with the guy I was dating, but we. You know, we did something afterward. We sat together at prom. I don't remember.
That was racy at the time.
Yeah, I don't remember beforehand taking. We took pictures at my house, so that's kind of a newer thing.
Yeah.
But now, you know, people go to a, there's like a park, you know, a flower park or whatever. They pick a. So, I mean, that's.
But who does
the
awkward buttoning the corsage? If it's
a group, I had to do that.
So we,
after they did pictures, they went to a hotel. Maybe for more pictures. Mm. And then we could come.
Yeah, that's what they told
us. No, it was before prom. It was before prom. I paid for no hotels. But I got to come to that, you know, because boys are very like, do you have to come? Because I was mad that he didn't come to our house. But so I got to go to the hotel with all the other parents and pin the flower on because
he
was mangling it. And then I took, so then we took more pictures. I think they just went to this place, this hotel, because it had like a waterfall, whatever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was fine.
Was it Key Lime Cove?
Like Great America? Not, cause
that wouldn't
that
be fun?
Because then I definitely would have gotten a room.
You know what I like is I said, who's driving? And he said, we meet at the school. We go on a bus to Navy Pier.
Oh,
isn't that like,
yes,
this
awesome.
Has totally changed. When I went with, I had two boyfriends in high school. One boyfriend was freshman and sophomore year. One boyfriend was junior and senior year.
Mm-hmm.
The junior and senior boyfriend went to junior prom and senior prom. And it was, you just felt like you had to go, and it was kind of like the same both
so
years.
Conservative. Really? Two boyfriends, huh?
Not at the same time, Jude.
Oh.
despite Wendy's
I was good in high school.
Nonstop attempts.
Then it changed.
Well, you know what? I went to Navy. I went to Navy Pier for my
Really?
Yep. We took
I just have to tell you, what was the Southside dinner
Amusement
theater
park?
Place that isn't there anymore?
Where on the Southside? Candlelight Dinner Playhouse?
Yes. That's where
to
we
see
went.
What? A production of what?
God, I don't
After
even remember.
Prom?
Maybe that wasn't prom. Maybe that was Turnabout or something.
It would seem weird for the prom. Turnabout, I could see
right.
a homecoming, maybe.
Because you're kind of tired after prom, and then you're going to go to a candlelight theater?
I don't even remember where we went to eat.
I think you went there with your parents, maybe on prom night?
Oh, no, we went with a group of people.
Yeah?
But it must have been a different dance.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. The pressure was on to have a date or have a boyfriend when we were in high school.
Absolutely.
And what I love now is... just a group of people decide who they're going
to
ask.
And then everyone gets to go.
Yes.
I love that, too. I mean, my daughter went to prom alone.
Yeah.
You know, and you know,
and they wouldn't let us go alone when we were
10 years ago. They plan the after. So they always have an after prom activity sponsored by the school. It's kind of a lock-in.
Right.
I like it.
Yes. So, but I mean, a lot of people don't go because they have their own plans.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's not just... So what is prom on Saturday usually?
Yeah, almost always.
It's like, and then the next day you do something. You
right.
go up to
That's
someone's
on your
summer
own,
home.
Yeah.
Right, and you do. Well, a lot of it is on your own after prom. People get their own buses. They're doing their own thing. They're not necessarily doing what the school wants them to do, but my daughter did. She didn't have a date, and she really wanted to go, and it was great. And she was up till 4 a.m. because they were locked in somewhere or someplace, and... you know, I had to pick her up.
Would you agree, Wendy and I talked about this a few weeks ago, that the prom overall is overrated?
100%.
It is, right?
1,000%.
Yeah.
And on that note, let me tell you, my goodbye girl in May,
uh-huh.
I'm focusing on prom dresses and just dresses
Perfect.
To wear. Because there's a big push in high schools now among girls, which I love, to make their own prom dresses, or, as in my case, I'm saying just trick it up a little bit. Buy a dress here, put a ribbon on, whatever you need
right.
to do. And you wear it one time. And, you know, it's ridiculous. The expense of prom is stupid.
All right, so you think of this. This is giving you practice to get married because the prom dress is super expensive. The promposals have come to a point, like, what are you going to do when you actually propose to a woman and ask for her hand in marriage?
You better have a helicopter flying over Wrigley Field. That's all I'm saying.
So,
Michael, none of this stuff, you want to get married? Will you marry me? I mean, I'm thinking girls will laugh at guys if they do that and get down on a knee.
Right.
What's that? Where's the production?
Exactly.
I want pyrotechnics. But Michael just decided to write a song. I said, why don't you get her flowers? He goes, Mom, I wrote her a song. I said, I guess that means more. And then he had a poster that said, I'd be folked.
Oh, man.
If you didn't go to prom with me, because he loves folk music, and he wrote a folk song. And she said yes.
That's
so.
One of the better ones I've heard, really.
All right,
that's
well, good.
Awesome.
I loved more than anything when I set this whole thing up, and I said, she said no. You both believed me for a half
well,
a second.
It
no,
just seemed tragic.
No way.
Because you hear a guy pulling out a guitar, that can't miss. Even if he didn't know how to play the guitar.
just for a prop?
Just to show the
well,
guitar.
You didn't say it was a friend either. I assumed it was a girlfriend.
Michael's not big on the dating thing right now. I think he thinks, you know...
Girls have cooties?
No, but he's very sensitive, and I think he...
We do.
I know.
You're not going to marry the first girl you date. And I think nowadays, it's not 100% required to date someone because you all hang...
I have a 20-something-year-old who...
Yeah.
He's been on a couple
I'm
dates.
I'm fine with that.
He's okay with that, and I am too.
Is the purpose of that,
and he did not
I don't
want to
waste my time on somebody I know is not right for me?
I just feel like in his case, even though he's 23, he's not into
it's
it
not
yet.
It's not a priority.
It's not a priority right now. I think it will be. I'm not saying it won't be,
right,
but
sure.
He's got too much else going on.
Is he
on.
The son that now has a World Series ring?
He's got the ring. So things will change.
Dating's
going
to change fast.
Because I told him to just say he's the shortstop. I mean, they'll be drunk at the bar anyway, right, when he's meeting the girls. Just tell me the shortstop.
Right.
But seriously,
I'm Javi Baez.
When we were in high school, it was like you had to have a date or a boyfriend or you were a loser. And really, the school kind of helped perpetuate that by saying you couldn't go to prom unless you had a date.
Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Why would what's in it for the school to do that?
Well, because they wanted it to be like teaching.
Couples.
Yeah. And because they thought it would be if a group of guys went or a group of girls, they wouldn't be able to control them. But that was like perpetuating the whole, you better have a special someone. Mm-hmm. And now that's changed. You can go with a group. You can go by yourself. So, I mean, there are still people that definitely date.
Yeah,
but
right.
not as much as when we were in high school. Right. Because now they realize, you know, wow, you can stand on your own 2 feet and have fun. Having fun with everyone.
Absolutely. Just need yourself.
I like it.
By the way, I dumped my date.
During the prom?
Well, no, I waited.
The day after.
The day after.
She needed a ride
home.
When
we went boating up in Lake Delavan.
Yeah. You just realized.
By the way. Did you push him over?
I put my time
in.
Well,
I wanted to, but I waited till we got home, and then I was like, oh, by the way.
Was he heartbroken?
We're done.
What did he do?
Maybe. Don't you worry about it. It was, whatever he did, it was
inappropriate.
Good enough to get booted.
It was inappropriate. The girl that I went to prom with, too, because we were going to go to Great America with other friends the next day, and I think we both realized, maybe not.
So someone should do a study on how many people break up the day after prom.
Oh, it's
right?
Several people that were friends of mine.
I mean, this whole big thing, prom, and it's so much
the
work.
The pressure's on.
So much money. Yeah, so, and then the stress, and the next day you're like, yeah, all right.
I remember my parents waited up for me that night, and I came in, and they're like, well, you know, like, because we had been talking about it. It was, like, such a big thing for the weeks that preceded it. And I said, I got to be honest. If I had to do it all over again, I don't think I would have done it. And they go, what, are you talking seriously? And I go, yeah, it just didn't live up. No part of it lived up to what I wanted it to be.
It can't. It can't ever.
But see how history is changing, because our parents were excited to see us have a good time at prom because their prom was special. Then ours wasn't so special, and now it's just fun.
Yeah.
So it's really changed over the three generations here.
Right.
Yeah. I'm all for the fun.
Absolutely. And then everyone's, I'm all for the inclusion. Include everyone.
I agree with
it's
you.
It's horrible not to. And you know what I love? Ugh. Prom, you know, so many times, you know, I remember I'm going, you see like the girl who's got Down syndrome being voted the
That's
queen.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
That schools realize
awesome.
It means more to these kids. To
what you teach those kids in that moment.
Yeah.
Like 4 years.
I know. You just gave me goosebumps because it's true.
Yeah. I love giving
You're
you goosebumps.
You're tearing up. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
And a lot of schools are doing that.
A lot of kids are doing that.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Amen.
Yeah, sometimes a kid will win, you know, prom king or prom queen, and they'll say, you know, thank you for this honor, but I really think this person deserves it more. That's fantastic.
Or they just vote for that person.
Yeah, that's right.
That is great.
Yeah.
Good.
So.
That's how it should be.
We live in a great world right now.
It's changing. It really has changed.
Making prom great again.
You got to ruin it, don't you?
Sorry.
Thank you, Judy.
You guys have not talked about Trump enough. That's all I'm saying.
That's Judy Baez Pilak. Thank you.
You know what? If he married Javi Baez, I'd be okay with that, too.
We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are on the stream. Hopefully you found us. 312-235-2525. It's so funny that we talk about prom, and it's like neither of us really have great testimonials.
You know, it's not just you and me. Over the years, different people that I've talked to, friends of mine, anytime the prom comes up, they'll start to talk about it, and then you could just see it in their eyes like, it just didn't meet the expectations. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have had a great time at a prom because if they didn't, they would stop having them. But it was a really expensive night and it fizzled for me. It just wasn't good.
But this wasn't someone you were dating, right? It was some, was it someone you wanted to date?
I had gone out with her once prior to this and, she was a nice enough girl, but it just, we were very different people.
But I wonder if you would have dated, and because the prom thing put so much pressure to make it work. That's what I think. I was telling Michael, you know, if you recently started dating someone, I think it would be terrible to go to the prom with.
It should not be a first date.
No.
The prom should not be a first date.
Because the pressure, man.
Right.
Jeez.
Right.
Loosen up and have fun.
I'm going to quote you on that.
And don't drink.
And don't drink. What else?
I just love that the school's taking them on the bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, I
Safer.
Mean. Yeah. Before, mm-hmm. you'd have to worry about, you know, who's driving.
Yeah.
I never had the car.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You didn't hotwire a car for your prom?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I was dating didn't have the ability. Otherwise, I would have said, let's go.
What kind of a guy is that? I have two different options for stories that we can discuss. One of them concerns Johnny Depp. one of our greatest actors.
I love Johnny Depp, and we just were talking about the Stones exhibit, and of course, he looks like Keith Richards, kind of.
Keith Richards plays his dad in one of the movies.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
You want to talk about that? Johnny Depp has a strange habit. He's done this in the past, but for some reason this week, he's getting a lot of press for it. What Johnny Depp likes to do is, if you go to Disneyland in California and you go on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, which, of course, preceded the movies by decades, the ride did. But then, once the Pirates of the Caribbean movies became so popular, they changed the ride a little bit and they put in audio animatronic characters of Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow.
I know at the Disney World, it's pretty realistic.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
it
like
really
him.
Looks like, at one point, I'm like, well, oh my God, is that cool of him to come out in the exhibit?
He's in three or four different scenes. You see him.
Very realistic.
With all the other pirates that have been there for years and years and years, the older, more established pirates. And then there's Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Black Sparrow. But what Johnny likes to do, and he just did it again this weekend, is he likes to dress up like Captain Sparrow, and then where the audio animatronic figure would be in the ride, they take that out, and Johnny stands there and waves at people.
I've always wished that would happen when I'm on that ride.
Yeah, well, he's doing it. The happiest place on earth just got even more magical thanks to one Johnny Depp on Wednesday evening. Sorry, I said the weekend, but it was just Wednesday. It was yesterday. The actor decided to make a surprise appearance at Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. Instead of exploring the food, parades, and other attractions inside the theme park, Johnny decided to head straight over to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride for a special job. Dressed perfectly as his character, Captain Jack Sparrow, the actor was able to surprise dozens of riders as they rode in their respective boats.
I get the feeling he dresses like that every day. I don't think it was a special occasion.
Well, since the breakup with Amber Heard, he's been a little bit unbalanced. So whatever Johnny does, we just nod and smile. One theme park visitor said everyone was surprised and shocked and excited to see him. He acted exactly like his character in the movies, which is not hard to believe.
Right.
Another theme park visitor added it was a surreal moment for everybody on our boat. It was a crazy experience. Best Disneyland experience that our family has ever been a part of. So will Disneyland now reach out to other actors who have been in their films? We just had Gilbert Gottfried in this afternoon or this morning. Would Gilbert, which ride is Iago on? Is it the Tiki Birds? It's the Tiki Bird room.
Is he?
Yeah, they updated the Tiki Birds. You know, they did the same show for years and years and years. And now the Tiki Birds uses birds from all their most famous cartoons. That's who's now in the Tiki Room.
I just saw it last time.
You don't remember that?
World or Land? World?
Disney World.
I don't recall, but I got to tell you, I never saw Aladdin. So
Julie Andrews isn't in Aladdin. You can see it. It's safe for you to see.
I kind of missed the whole cartoon ball once I became an adult and a mom.
When the boys were little, they didn't want to see any Disney
cartoons?
They saw
them. Jim usually took them to the movies.
So you missed Lion King.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
You missed Toy Story.
No, I saw Toy Story. I loved that.
All right.
I didn't see Up.
Oh, Up is so good. Why didn't you see Up?
Everyone told me I'd cry
so
hard.
You will cry so hard.
I'll save that for real life, not the movies.
Well, when you're crying during Up, you realize it's amazing that it can evoke that much emotion with animated characters, but the first 8 minutes of Up
I just watch the first 8 minutes?
No, you should watch the whole movie, but the really emotional roller coasters of those first 8 minutes.
I'm not a big movie fan.
No?
I know that kills you that I say that. I like watching them at home.
Yeah.
Now
they have they put out these DVDs.
I know,
now,
but
you can see whatever you want.
I have such a backlog on things that I need to see. Why would I go back and watch Aladdin or Up?
No reason to? Nothing?
I don't know.
Ed Asner's in Up.
I know.
You're insulting Ed Asner.
I'm not insulting them by not watching it.
Kevin, has Ed Asner called? He's not. You know why? Because he's insulted.
No, he doesn't have the number.
Hey, Ed Asner, we're at 312-235-2525, and we got spunk.
Kevin, have you seen Aladdin?
Yeah, I love Aladdin.
Up.
Kevin and I went to see it together.
That's great.
I took Kevin to see Aladdin,
I had a little pet, the pet monkey from Aladdin. I had that stuffed animal. I was a kid when it came out.
Oh, yes, he's not the same age as I am,
right.
Is he?
No, not during the movie. He didn't bring his pet monkey to the movie. And then we only have a couple minutes, so I wanted to talk about this. Are you aware of the situation with this guy Jesse Waters at Fox News? They had some video. He has made some comments that many people are saying are extremely derogatory towards Ivanka Trump. And I gotta say, I watched the video, and they kind of are. I'll explain. On Tuesday night's episode of The Five, that's the 9 p.m. show that has followed The O'Reilly Factor, and it was canceled. The O'Reilly Factor was canceled. We all know this. I'm trying to think of where I can exactly pick up the audio here. The network played a clip of Ivanka Trump holding a microphone close to her mouth as she talked about women's rights. This was at a panel in Germany. It's funny, says Jesse Waters. The left says that they really respect women. When they're given an opportunity to respect a woman like this, though, they boo and they hiss her. Did you see that video of her? She's talking at this conference in Germany, and she said some things that the audience disagreed with. So there was some booing and hissing.
But not overly.
Just a little bit. So then he continues. So I don't really get what's going on here, but, says Jesse Waters, I really like the way she was speaking into that microphone. So many people are saying, and if you've seen the video clip of this.
It was sexual.
He's inferring. Yeah. So he is now taking a two-day sabbatical, a two-day vacation, quote unquote, so he can think about it and the network can think about it. But it's just ironic that Fox News, after going through everything they went through, but with their CEO and with Bill O'Reilly, now all of a sudden has a guy like this saying what could or could not be extremely blatant comments about.
Yeah,
Ivanka
this
Trump.
Is not a good time for him to be talking like that.
No, no. Now, on the other side of this, I've heard other people make reference to this. Much like United Airlines is being scrutinized like crazy because of the couple of weeks that they have, to some extent, I'm no defender of Fox News in any way, shape, or form, but the same thing is going on a little bit at Fox News. Everybody's watching it with a much bigger microscope just to see if they say or do anything inappropriate. And this probably is inappropriate.
Just let Bill O'Reilly go for this very reason. He shouldn't have done that.
Right, right.
And I just think that's a rude thing to say.
Yeah, I mean,
that's rude.
It is rude.
We talk into a microphone every day. I mean, we could do jokes about each other all the time talking into this microphone.
And we do.
Okay, but that's off the air.
Right.
I think that's a rude, sexist thing to say.
Yeah. I'm not sure what exactly how he would say something like this on a cable network and not expect some backlash. I'm sure he thought, I'm just being cute with this.
He wanted people to go, whoa, and then that be that.
Right.
But no, they're there.
But for but for the average person to see a woman speaking into a microphone, honestly, that would have never occurred to me in 1,000 years. And then all of a sudden he says it, and I go, wait, what? Oh, come on, really? That seems way too easy.
I think of it every time I see someone holding a mic. Every time.
Do you really?
No. But I can't believe you've never seen it before. I've thought that.
No.
Well, we're different.
No. But I told Kevin, I can't eat a banana in studio because of the provocative way that I do that. I know you'd be all over me, so I refuse to.
You had a banana earlier today.
I had to eat it very quickly and in dark shadows so that you wouldn't say anything perverse.
The dark shadow was, I think, Dave Edit was shielding your eating from me.
He did.
Did he make any
comments?
That's
the truth. Yeah, but I'm used to that from Dave. That guy's a first grade perv, that Dave Ennett.
Don't say that on
first
the screen.
First grade.
First grade or first rate?
First grade perv. There's a difference. I don't know what it is, but there's a difference.
Yeah, now's the time you don't say something like that.
No.
And you said it wasn't that bad. How do you explain that? It's not really that bad, but it's a very sexist comment.
It's horribly sexist, and it is one of those times where if you just think for a half a second before you say it, but I think he was already in so deep that, you know, at some point you go, well, I've committed to this. I got to say it now. Wrong.
So they're saying he's
2-day vacation now.
It's not suspension. It's like he just had this impromptu vacation planned.
Not planned. It came as a result of this. They're just taking a break from each other for a couple of days.
Well, the good news is, what's his name again?
Jesse Waters.
This is the first time I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, now he's famous. So if you ever want to get famous, kids, the best thing to do...
Poke fun at a Trump.
Is suggest some sort of a sexual act is going on with an electronic device. You can't go wrong. It works every time. It's your ticket to stardom. All right. Look at the old clock on the wall, Wendy.
I don't want to.
The time is expired.
Time
listen to the
is
there's the music. The clock says it. The music says it.
What do we have something big on the show tomorrow?
Not big.
Yes, Tony Bennett's daughter.
Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed. Noon on the stream.
Tony Bennett's daughter, Wendy. Her father left his heart in San Francisco.
He was pretty great.
Tony is still great. Is. Love Tony Bennett.
Does she
love
sing?
Tony Bennett? No.
She's just coming in to talk about.
She won't even talk about her dad.
We're kidding, Kevin.
Doesn't talk about her dad.
She's just going to come in and give a pasta recipe.
Yeah, she makes this sauce that I understand is spicy, but not too spicy.
Arrabbiata?
No, his daughter. Tony Bennett's daughter is coming in.
All right, well, we'll try this again tomorrow.
We'll get it right one day.
No, probably not.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You look fantastic. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.